Well, I think there's a great deal of uncertainty about how particularly our region here in the Asia Pacific is changing. The Secretary of Defense, Dennis Richardson, said on launching this that, you know, we're starting to have to think about going to places that we haven't been in a long, long time. And what he really means is kind of Southeast and Northeast Asia, the potential for competition and power clashes between some of the major states there. And while that's not immediate, it's the kind of thing that, because these things take so long to develop, you want to start planning for and spending money on now.
So it's coming out of an uncertainty more than any particular threat.
Yeah, there's no state that at the moment is directly threatening Australia or Australian interests. There are a number of states that are developing capabilities that could potentially do that in the future. There are some states that are challenging what we call the rules-based order of the region, that kind of accepted ideas about how states should interact, what they should do, how they should talk to each other and kind of use their forces, and that start to be seemingly challenging that kind of order. And that leaves other countries a bit uncertain about what the kind of future will hold.
Well, one big player, of course, in the region is China, and can't be ignored in this case. And it's accused, China's accused the Australian government of having a Cold War mentality. What do you think, what's your response to this, given that the White Paper has criticized them for raising tensions in the South China Sea?
I think China needs some new insults. They have used the Cold War mentality line before whenever we've kind of strengthened our alliance with the Americans. So this is to be expected. And while I've said just a moment ago that there are several countries that are pushing in this direction, it is China that is front and center of the Australian policymakers' minds. This is partly just because of the size of China. If you don't know kind of what China's going to do, the fact that it has such large capacity means that if it does move in a direction that we found aggressive in 10, 20, 30 years' time, the ramifications of that could be utterly substantial and very significant for us. Because these things, submarines, major technology, the kind of building up your forces take a long time, we also need to kind of plan for that now in the hope that we don't have to use it. The real question mark is, what are the intentions of the Chinese government? In many ways, they have talked about a peaceful rise. They have been very peaceful in their activities in at least the last 30 years. But at the same time, we see behavior such as putting radar systems and missile defense systems into the South China Sea, building up kind of runways for airplanes to land in the South China Sea. And that raises a question mark about how they're looking into the future and what kind of actions they're taking.
If you're just joining me, I'm talking to Dr. Andrew Carr about Australia's white paper, which was released. And with the submarines in particular, I mean, there's something that's been talked about a lot. Why are submarines seen as so important?
It's getting harder and harder these days, given the kind of radar systems, surveillance systems, the kind of digital technology that we have, to be able to protect surface fleets. So if you're sailing your ships around, a lot of other countries now know where they are and potentially could harm them if they had wanted to. Submarines are still different. They're still relatively difficult to discover, still relatively difficult to do damage to. And so they're a very good kind of defensive weapon in that you can kind of use them to understand what's going on in your region, potentially to have a kind of response if somebody else tried to attack you or harm you. You know, if we did have a repeat of the 1942 kind of movement of a country down towards Australian shores, submarines would be front and center of trying to stop that. But they're a way of understanding what's going on in the region, and for a smaller country like Australia, but also Vietnam or South Korea, a way of being able to deliver a little bit of power, a little bit of kind of force in a key area without needing the large vessels and kind of fleets that the larger states have. So they're quite a useful technology in that way.
And Andrew, one other threat, which is sort of a global concern, is, of course, the Islamic State. Does this figure into our white paper in any way?
Islamic State is mentioned in the white paper. Terrorism is certainly a concern. What's notable in this document, however, is how rarely it features. Our big public debate here in Australia has been about terrorism, about what we should do in the Middle East. That has dominated the discussion. This white paper rightly recognizes that that threat's also here in Southeast Asia. You know, we saw the attacks in Jakarta just a few weeks ago. But this is a white paper that says that will be significant in terms of the global ramifications, But really what we have to focus on is what could do the most harm to Australia. You know, this is still a world of superpowers with major nuclear arsenals that literally could wipe Australia off the map. And that's what this white paper is trying to say. These are the major things we really should think about and focus on. Terrorism matters. We'll use the Defence Force for it. We're still continuing to build up our special forces on it. But there are larger threats out there that hopefully won't ever eventuate, but we need to be prepared for just in case.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me this morning to speak about it, Andrew.
My pleasure.